Good morning and welcome to worship in Second Valley Easton, especially if you are visiting with us. Most of the announcements are on the order of service. One additional announcement is that there will be a PW meeting on Tuesday, the 10th of October at 7:45 p.m. The speaker will be Darren Houston from Woodland Trust. Everyone is welcome. Services continue this evening with Harvest Thanksgiving in First Ballyeaston at 7 p.m. Their Harvest Supper is tomorrow evening at 7:45 p.m. Please note the arrangements around our harvest, with choir practice on Thursday evening, our musical celebration and supper on Saturday week, and Thanksgiving services this day week. Preparations and decoration of the church for the harvest service will take place on Friday evening. People are participating are asked to come early. The harvest appeal is very important in keeping our books balanced, so please give it your prayerful attention.
Good morning, everyone. You are most welcome. Because from north and south and from east and west we come, God's people called together where simple grace nourishes us. From down the street to across the fields and from our towns, God's people are called to community, here where we live and serve one another. For you are God's people, called to witness to God's hope, to offer peace to a shattered world. So letter four, let us worship God.
Our soul is longing and faint.
Let us pray. Dear God, we wish we could be brave just like the Lord Jesus. He stood up against baddies and told them the truth, even though it got him into big trouble. But we aren't always like that. When we see kids being bullying or doing other bad things, we can keep quiet and say nothing. So help everyone here, old and young, to grow in courage every single day and to be more like Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Boys and girls, do you want to come and join me? Just check. Do you have a copy of your... All right, everybody, how are you? A few more coming from upstairs. Now, each Sunday we've been thinking about going on a journey, and we've had our suitcase up here at the front to help us think about what we'll be doing each day. And you've been making passports, haven't you, in Sunday school? What's in your passport? Can anybody remember some of the things you've put in your passport yet?
Things about you, like a picture.
Uh-huh, so you got your own picture, yeah?
Your name.
Your name, yep, you have got your name on it. What else? Yeah, all the things about what we're doing here in church. Hi, Olivia. Is that everybody? All right. Now, somebody like to help open the suitcase today? Oh, it has to be one of the girls, because I was one of the boys the last time, and you had your hand up first. Shall we go? There we go. You grab that. The next one. Yep. There we go. Oh, it's fallen to bits. I have very classy luggage. There we go. If I do this bit and you lift out what's in there, you ready? There we go. Perfect. You want to show everybody what you've got there? What's that? It's a Holy Bible. Thank you so much. What is this? Ollie.
Bible.
It's a Bible. What's the Bible for?
To read about God.
To read about God. Yes. Anything else? That's a very good answer. What do you think? Anything else?
To learn about Jesus.
To learn about Jesus. Yes. Tell you what, there's lots and lots of things in here. There's stories and songs and poems, but there's just two simple things you can sum all of that up in. It teaches us that God loves us, and it teaches us how to love each other. It's a big book, and it was written over thousands of years, but two really simple things: that God loves us, and we're to love each other. And that's why we read it every single Sunday in church. Because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we can be scared and think nobody cares about us. But God always loves us. And we need to remember that. And sometimes we get tired, or maybe we're grumpy. And we should be kind, but we're not very kind. And we don't help. You ever done that? Yeah? I've done that too. I bet everybody's been a bit like that. And we need to remember that we should always be kind and loving as well. So that's why we have the Bible every single Sunday, because it teaches us about God's love and that we're to be kind and loving too, because God wants us all to be one big family. We're going to welcome a new member of our family today. Anybody guess who that might be? Who do you think?
A baby.
A baby. Where's the baby? Over there. Hi, Connie. We're going to welcome Connie into being part of our big loving family here in Ballyeaston today. So will you sit and help me out again as usual at the end? And first, one of our elders, Jean, is going to help us read the Bible and remember why we make people part of our family.
The Gospel tells us that Jesus called for the children and said, "Let the little children come unto me. Do not try to stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. He also said, "Full authority in heaven and on earth has been committed to me. Go therefore to all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. I will be with you always to the end of time." Then on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Then your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you and to your children and to all who are far away, to everyone whom the Lord our God may call."
Thank you, Jean. You listened very well, boys and girls. And we're going to be singing a song that helps us remember what we've been talking about today when you're going out to Sunday school, which the song is, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know Because the Bible Tells Me So." Do you remember that one? We're going to sing it. But today we're gathered here as God's people. And when Jesus was baptized in the waters of the Jordan, the Spirit of God came upon him, and his baptism was completed through his dying and rising again. Our baptism is a sign of dying to sin and rising to new life in Christ. It is Christ himself who baptized us. By the Spirit of Pentecost, he makes us members of his body, the church, and calls us to share his ministry in the world. By water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us as his own, washes us from sin, and sets us free from the power of death. In this sacrament, the love of God is offered to each one of us. Though we cannot understand it or explain it, we are called to accept that love with the openness and trust of a child. In baptism, Connie is assured of the love that God has for her, and the sign of the seal of the Holy Spirit is placed upon her. And so today, Constance Margaret Jane McCaw, son of Patricia and Ross, is presented for holy baptism. And I invite the congregation to stand with the parents as they make their vows. Are you going to come too, Laurie? Going to come and help? In presenting this child for baptism, do you profess your faith in God as your Creator and Father, in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and in the Holy Spirit as your sanctifier and guide? Will you, by God's help, provide a Christian home and bring this child up in the teaching and worship of the church so that your child may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And do you, who now receive this child into the fellowship of the church, in Christ's name promise, by God's help, to so order your congregational life and witness that Connie may grow up in the knowledge and love of God and be continually surrounded by Christian example and influence? The Lord give us grace faithfully to keep these, our promises. Let us pray. We thank you, gracious God, for your gifts of water and the Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and this water, that Connie, being buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him to newness of life, and being born anew of water and the Holy Spirit, may remain forever in the number of your faithful children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Connie, for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered the darkness of Calvary and cried at the last, "It is accomplished." For you, he triumphed over death and rose in newness of life. For you, he ascended to reign at God's right hand. All this he did for you, Connie, though you do not know it yet. And so the word of Scripture is fulfilled. We love because God loved us first. Hey there. You have got some stare, don't you? You pay attention. Constance Margaret Jane, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of God Almighty dwell and remain on you now and always. We sing the blessing. Hello.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
I commend Connie to your love and prayers, for she is engaged to be the Lord's. Why, boys and girls, you'll wave to Connie to welcome her in? Say hi. Part of our new church family. And we're going to sing a song now as you go out to Sunday school that reminds us about God's love for each of us. A prayer of confession. Let us pray. God, our friend, please do not allow familiarity to dull our awareness of your love. May worship be the holiest aspiration and the dearest pleasure of our souls. For we gather before you, recognizing the trials and tribulations of the world that we live in. Save your people, God of truth and mercy. Save your people, God of truth and mercy, from the chaos of divided loyalties and the worship of many gods. Save us, God of truth and mercy, from making God in our own likeness and the slavery of selfishness. Save us, God of truth and mercy, from using God's name trivially and claiming God for our own prejudice. Save us, God of truth and mercy, from neglecting sabbatical quiet times and being obsessed with busyness. Save us, God of truth and mercy, from ignoring or despising the elderly and overindulging the new. Save us, God of truth and mercy, from glorifying violence and war and wishing our enemies dead. Save us, God of truth and mercy, from watering down our love and relationships. Save us, God of truth and mercy, from the legal robberies of the stock exchange and the cunning thefts of our own greed. Save us, God of truth and mercy, from news that twists the facts and cruel gossip in the shops. Save us, God of truth and mercy, from those who preach greed as a virtue and lust which is never satisfied. Save us, God of truth and mercy. O Jesus Christ, Savior of all who lose their way, healing spirit, the power that renews our world, we need you, God of truth and mercy. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Thanks be to God."
Yeah. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Thanks be to God.
Lots of you have one of these, mobile phone, or you've got an iPad, also like one of these. If you're really old-fashioned, you've got a laptop or even a desktop if you're ancient. But so many of us use computers. And one of the things that we use often is things like Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat if you're young and cool. I don't know how to use Snapchat. My head would explode if somebody tried to explain it to me. But there's all kinds of social media that's out there that so many of you use. One of the things I've used for nearly 9 years now is a little app called Twitter. It's just lots and lots of tweets, short statements that people make. And you can follow people and they can follow you back and you can have an online conversation. I've used it now for nearly 9 years to follow stuff about church stuff, funnily enough, psychology, because that's my background, the news, and yes, funny jokes as well. But one of the things I've watched as it has grown exponentially from when it started in 2006 to today is to watch the growth of an ugly and vicious phenomenon, online abuse. People posting hurtful and hateful and sometimes illegal comments to abuse, humiliate, and shut down others. There's a term they use in the online world. They talk about trolls, the kind of people who post these comments. And some of them love it because they gather support online. And they love it and feel rewarded when others repost what they say. And sometimes there are those who make a genuine mistake in the online world. And it does require an apology. But it suddenly descends into a tirade of abuse, including death threats. There is no balance. And so constantly, in the world of social media, there is always a call for new rules. Same for Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, all those current media platforms. You get government ministers talking about it. We have to have new legislation. Bring in laws to control all of this. After all, surely if you have a list of rules, that's going to solve everything. I mean, think about rugby or football or any sport. Without rules, all you've got is a fight on a playing field. So why not the same with social media? The trouble with thinking that's how you fix our online world today is that you don't look into the eyes of the other person when you're using it. In the online world of the internet, that distance results in people being removed from one another, removed from seeing the humanity of the other person. That's why we have young teenage men making rape threats to women when they actually met a real woman that'd run a mile. Or online groups of women bullying and harassing another woman because of how she looks or about her parenting skills. I've had to work with those in Northern Ireland through the years, and I've had to get them to switch off their phones because of sectarian abuse that they carry with them into their bedroom. And the first thing they do is they wake up and look at an online mob threatening to beat them up. There is a lot that is out there that is horrific. When people go online, the glue that holds us socially in our shops and supermarkets and schools and playgrounds melts away. Now, there's nothing new about bullying, but the scale of it is quite astonishing. So after all, why not have more rules? That's going to fix things, isn't it? But rules aren't going to ever be enough, because the rules don't close the gap between the abuser and the abused. Now, that's a problem that the governments and psychologists and internet providers and, yes, all of us who use these things need to find a solution to. Rules don't always serve us. A lot of people would think that the passage that Gillian read for us today about the Ten Commandments is that they're a set of rules. 10 rules, 10 laws from God that are going to fix the world. That the point of them is to give us a clear set of instructions on how to live. They're not. After all, they'd be useless in a court of law. Thou shalt not covet. How do you make laws that put that into practice? The Ten Commandments aren't about rules, but about our relationships. Actually, there's a key in them to how we solve some of our online problems. Now, the big Bible word we use for this is covenant. It's a relationship that God declares, you'll be my people, and you will demonstrate that you're my people by living in this way. Now, it's not a contract like you have with your dentist, and when you break it, you get fined if you want to stay in that relationship with your dentist. And your dentist knows this. You'll pay up if you've missed your appointment. That's not what the covenant is. Even when God's people fail, God's love continues to redeem, to rescue, to cherish. This is the nature of our relationship with God. And this is the relationship, is how we should be shaped and how we relate to others. But what does that mean? What does that mean for us who listen to this? We're thinking about being a congregation on the move, thinking about who we are as we move into our own future here. And we're to be shaped by this covenant. What does that mean for you, listening to Gillian read the commandments to us today, as they've been read to people of faith for thousands of years? It's a challenge to be aware of anything that destroys relationships, either between individuals or communities or a relationship with God. And Jesus himself summed it up so succinctly, as Derek read, love God, love your neighbor. But if you see the commandments, you'll see that's how they break down. They start with our relationship with God, and then move into our relationship with others. So ask yourself this. Is there anything that you are doing that is damaging your relationship with another person? Then you must set that aside as God requires of you. Is there anything in our society that is undermining peace between neighbors? Then we ourselves must work to undermine those things as we follow the Prince of Peace. Is there anything that's getting in the way of your relationship to God? Then maybe you need Sabbath rest to take time and reflect and pray and invite God into your life. Gareth Higgins, a friend of mine, is a religious writer from Bangor. He now lives in the United States. We use social media for one of the positive ways. We use Facebook to keep in touch. But this week, Gareth, who's helping to run a religious Writers' Festival, was reflecting about the horror of yet another gun massacre in the States. Admitting that feeling of helplessness in the face of such tragedy, he did suggest some things that churches needed to do in the face of murder. One of them is very, very simple, what churches are uniquely established for, and that was to build closer ties across communities. There is a simple fact when you look at the statistics in the United States. High rates of gun homicide in the US, he wrote, are linked to weak communities. Congregations are a remarkable resource to turn strangers into neighbors. I was in Salford last weekend, as some of you know. Now, if you like BBC Sports or Five Live, you'll know that's where it's the home of. And because the media is there, it's full of expensive apartments and posh restaurants and hotels and shiny restaurants. It also, like so much of Britain today, has an ever-increasing problem of poverty and homelessness. What on earth do you do with that? When you have the ultra-rich sitting looking out from their £500 to £600 a night hotel, I wasn't staying in one of those, by the way, but looking out where there's people sleeping homeless on the streets, begging. What do you do with that? Well, one of the things that churches have been doing in Salford, in fact, they were showcasing it just this week, is to be developed the work of what are called Poverty Truth Commissions, PTCs. They're supported through the Churches Against Poverty, and they consist of bringing together two groups. Those who've actually lived through and experienced poverty. They may have been homeless, they may have been on benefits, but also matched by a number of people from business or public life whose positions might help them make change happen. And so the Salford one started. It met monthly over the last year. It began with 30 people, two distinct groups, those fairly wealthy, those coming from administration and the council, business people, and the other half were those who came from positions of poverty. But by the end of it, they've spoken about how they're now one close-knit group. Friends, starting to draw up ideas, and more importantly, change things for the better. One of them was the city council leader. This is a big council to be in charge of. It's called Debbie Brown. And she said she had been devastated when she sat down and listened to one of the people say, "Your rules make it harder for us who are poor." Like what? Rules like, you need to pay £11 for a birth certificate to access your benefits because you've got to have a copy of this. And when a young homeless mum says, "I can't afford £11, you realise that your rules are not helping. Other things they started to see. How do you help homeless people? Well, the council said, of course we're going to do something about that. We've got a fantastic app that you can download and you'll find places of sanctuary. Oh, hang on, you're homeless. I'm guessing you don't have a phone contract or a smartphone. Their rules weren't helping. And it made them radically change what they're doing. Instead of having these rules, they've, for those who are on benefits or homeless, they don't charge them anymore. Because they know, the council, that it makes things faster to help people in a way they didn't realize before. And that came because they put the rules to one side and developed relationships. Simple things the council have been doing now, encouraged by the churches, is to have a cup of tea and a packet of biscuits and an open space where people can come in and get advice without having to go online, for instance. Because they may think it saves money to put stuff onto the internet, but it's the real relationships that are done over a cup of tea that changes people's lives. So many things have been coming out. It's quite remarkable to read about them. It's quite encouraging, in fact, that so much has been happening there in a way that practically is transforming lives. Not just rules. They realize that rules don't always work. Jesus taught us this anyway. The Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. Sometimes our rules harm us. But the Ten Commandments call us to look to God and to others and ask about our relationships. And do we have any rules that stop others coming to God or to ourselves or vice versa? And today we welcome Connie into a new relationship, a covenantal relationship with God and all of us. And when you give your money in the offering after this service, you're acting in a practical way to help build our covenantal community where she may be brought up in Christian faith to flourish. I'm really pleased. This week, I received word that we've been given a grant of £2,800 to help Second Bally Easton and the Sacred Heart Parish in Ballyclare to do a similar program to what we did a couple of years ago, to bring together our schools and different community groups in a couple of joint concerts, to hold out an example in our area when we live with paramilitaries who want to seek and undermine community spirit, to show a better way. What about you? And what can you do this week? Well, love God, love your neighbor. You've got homework. Literally, you've got a piece of homework waiting for you on the way out the door today. A little sheet, it's been posted on our Facebook page. You can use social media for good things. Take it this week, I invite you, put it somewhere where you can look at it. It's a modern reflection on the Ten Commandments to think about our relationships with God and each other. A simple little piece of paper. May I invite you to take it when you leave? Two of our elders are going to be helping me to hand them out. Take it away, even if just once this week, read it. So better that together, you and I may better love God and love our neighbor. And we worship God with our offering. Let us pray. Most loving God, you have shaped us in your own likeness and given us the responsibility of caring for this earth. You've entrusted us to care for the weak, bring order out of chaos, and create new possibilities. When we started to act with careless arrogance, you came after us. You called out to us through Moses and the prophets, and enlightened us through the seers and poets, and yet we still wandered. You pursued us down the centuries, and when the time was ripe, you came among us in Christ Jesus, your holy child. In him we have received the costly treasure of the gospel. By his love, we are born into the family of your church and made heirs of eternal life. By your Spirit, you are with us always, the friend sharing our happiness, the comforter in our pain and grief, the encourager when weary or depressed, and the agent of new birth when we become deadened by our sin. Most generous God, our hearts sing with gratitude for the blessings that extend through every hour. May you live among in our hearts forever and ever to be seen in our generosity through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Holy friend, health of the sick, comfort of the sad, rebuke of the oppressor, judge of the greedy, hope of the repentant, and friend of the downtrodden. In prayer, we lift up to you this world with its outrageous injustice, yet also its ordinary human kindness. Loving God, let your blessing be upon those who serve their neighbors without thought of reward, who forgive their enemies 70 times seven, who care for broken strangers as if they were dearest friends, who weep with the bereaved as if they were sisters, who heal the diseased, not counting the risk to themselves. Let your blessing encourage those who work for peace, who preach and live the gospel in the face of persecution, who feed the hungry, who stand up for the downtrodden, and who maintain the church when those around belittle it. Holy friend, reach out your hand over each of us gathered here now, that our faith may be enlarged and fortified, our vision enlightened and extended, and our compassion refreshed. We pray these things through the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whose love was good enough for the simple, too much for the proud, and astonishing for all who shared his cup. Amen. What does the Lord require of you except to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? Love, mercy, and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will be with you now and evermore. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you always. And all God's people said, Amen.